disappeared. There was no thunderclap, no sudden smell of brimstone, not even a scientifically sound inrush of air. 1 second the thing was there, surrounding me with its beautiful certainty of sharp-edged death. And the next instant, it was gone. Numbed, I stood there and blinked as Alpha rose and approached me in the Bosch-tinted gloom. He stood where the Shrike had stood, his own arms extended in a pathetic imitation of the deadly perfection I had just witnessed. But there was no sign on Alpha's bland, Bikura face that he had seen the creature. He made an awkward, open-handed gesture which seemed to include the labyrinth, cave wall, and scores of glowing crosses embedded there. "Cruciform," said Alpha. The 70 rose, came closer, and knelt again. I looked at their placid faces in the soft light, and I also knelt.
"You will follow the cross all of your days," said Alpha,
and his voice carried the cadence of litany. The rest of the Bikura repeated the statement in a tone just short of a chant. "You will be of the cruciform all of your days," said Alpha. And as the others repeated this, he reached out and pulled a small cruciform away from the cave wall. It was not more than 12 centimeters long, and it came away from the wall with the faintest of snaps. Its glow faded even as I watched. Alpha removed a small thong from his robe, tied it around small knobs at the top of the cruciform, and held the cross above my head. "You will be of the cruciform now and forever," he said.
"Now and forever," echoed the Bikura.
"Amen," I whispered. Beta signaled that I should open the front of my robe. Alpha lowered the small cross until it hung around my neck. It felt cool against my chest. The back of it was perfectly flat, perfectly smooth. The Bikura stood and wandered toward the cave entrance, apparently apathetic and indifferent once again. I watched them leave, and then I gingerly touched the cross, lifted and inspected it. The cruciform was cool, inert. If it had truly been living a few seconds earlier, it showed no sign of it now. It continued to feel more like coral than crystal or rock. There was no sign of any adhesive material on the smooth back of it. I speculated on photochemical effects that would have created the luminescent quality. I speculated on natural phosphorus, bioluminescence, and on the chances that evolution would shape such things. I speculated on what, if anything, their presence here had to do with the labyrinth, and on the eons necessary to raise this plateau so the river and canyon could slice through one of the tunnels. I speculated on the basilica and its makers, on the Bikura, on the Shrike, and on myself. Eventually, I ceased speculating and closed my eyes to pray. When I emerged from the cave, the cruciform cool against my chest under the robe, the 70 were obviously ready to begin the 3-kilometer climb up the staircase. I looked up to see a pale slash of morning sky between the walls of the cleft. "No!" I shouted, my voice almost lost against the roar of the river. "I need rest, rest!" I sank to my knees on the sand, but 6 of the Bikura approached, pulled me gently to my feet, and moved me toward the staircase. I tried. The Lord knows that I tried. But 2 or 3 hours into the climb, I felt my legs give way and I collapsed, sliding across the rock, unable to stop my 600-meter fall to the rocks and river. I remember grasping at the cruciform under the thick robe, and then 6 hands stopped my slide, lifted me, carried me. Then I remember no more. Until this morning, I awoke
to a sunrise pouring light through the opening of my hut. I wore only the robe, and a touch assured me that the cruciform was still hanging from its fibrous thong. As I watched the sun lift over the forest, I realized that I had lost a day, but somehow I had slept through not only my ascent up that endless staircase. How could these little people carry me 2.5 vertical kilometers? But through the next day and night as well. I looked around my hut. My comm log and other recording devices were gone. Only my med scanner, and a few packets of anthropological software made useless by the destruction of my other equipment, remained. I shook my head and went up to the stream to wash. The Bikura appeared to be sleeping. Now that I had participated in their ritual and become of the cruciform, they seemed to have lost interest in me. As I stripped to bathe, I decided to take no interest in them. I decided that I would leave as soon as I was strong enough. I would find a way around the flame forests if necessary. I could descend the staircase and follow the Khans if I had to. I knew more than ever that word of these miraculous artifacts had to be brought to the outside world.